Trinadipi Sunichena Turariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Namaiva Kevalam Kalo Nastiva 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 Gatir Anyata Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Today I will be doing three readings, two from Krishna book and one from the Govinda Lilamrita. We are finishing up our Krishna book class. We are in chapter 90, the final chapter. And previously we heard how the wives of Krishna also feel the highest spiritual emotion known as vipralambha, or separation from the Lord. Now in this first of three readings, Prabhupada will give a purport to what we studied previously. And so, since this Krishna book is the special gift of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we should offer our respectful obeisances and beg permission from him to do this webcast. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalkaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Chapter 90, Summary Description of Lord Krishna's Pastimes. I call it Part 4, Purport. All the wives of Lord Krishna were completely absorbed in thought of him. Krishna is known as Yogeshvara, the master of all yogis, and all the wives of Krishna at Dwaraka used to keep this Yogeshvara within their hearts. Instead of trying to be the master of all yogic mystic powers, it is better if one simply keeps the supreme Yogeshvara, Krishna, within his or her heart. Thus one's life can become perfect, and one can very easily be transferred to the kingdom of God. It is to be understood that all the queens of Krishna who lived with him at Dwaraka were in their previous lives very greatly exalted devotees who wanted to establish a relationship with Krishna in conjugal love. Thus they were given the chance to become his wives and enjoy a constant loving relationship with him. Ultimately, they were all transferred to the Vaikuntha planets. The Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, is never impersonal. All the Vedic literatures glorify the transcendental performance of his various personal activities and pastimes. It is said in the Ramayana, in the literatures, only the activities of the Lord are described. Everywhere in the Vedic literature, his glories are sung. As soon as soft-hearted people, such as women, hear those transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna, they immediately become attracted to him. Soft-hearted mothers and daughters are very, therefore, easily drawn to the Krishna consciousness movement. Women, or one who is thus drawn to the Krishna consciousness movement and tries to keep him or herself in constant touch with such consciousness certainly gets the supreme salvation, going back to Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. If simply by developing Krishna consciousness, one can be transferred to the spiritual world, one can simply imagine how blissful and blessed were the queens of Lord Krishna, who talked with him personally and saw Lord Krishna face to face. No one can properly describe the fortune of the wives of Lord Krishna. They took care of him personally by rendering various transcendental services like bathing him, feeding him, pleasing him, and serving him. Thus, no one's austerities can compare to the service of the queens at Dwaraka. Shukadeva Goswami informed Maharaj Parikshit that for self-realization, the austerities and penances performed by the queens at Dwaraka have no comparison. The objective of self-realization is one, Krishna. Therefore, although the dealings of the queens with Krishna appear just like ordinary dealings between husband and wife, the principal point to be observed is that the queen's attachment for Krishna, that is the main point, the queen's attachment for Krishna. The entire process of austerity and penance is meant to teach one how to become detached from the material world and enhance one's attachment to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'd like to make a point here on my own that I have given this description here many, many times in my preaching, that there are two sides to the coin, detachment from the material world and attachment to Krishna. That is real renunciation. Both have to be there. Detachment from material sense gratification and positive attachment to Krishna. We continue with Prabhupada's purport. Krishna is the shelter of all persons advancing in self-realization. As an ideal householder, he lived with his wives and performed the Vedic rituals just to show less intelligent persons that the Supreme Lord is never impersonal. Krishna lived with his wives and children in all opulence, exactly like an ordinary conditioned soul, just to teach those souls who are actually conditioned that they must enter into the family circle of Krishna, where he is the center. For example, the members of the Yadu dynasty lived in the family of Krishna, and Krishna was the center of all their activities. Renunciation is not as important as enhancing one's attachment to Krishna. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for this purpose. We are preaching the principle that it does not matter whether a man is a sannyasi or grihastha householder. One simply has to increase his or her attachment for Krishna, and then one's life is successful. I'd like to comment here also that when Srila Prabhupada started this movement, he did not introduce so many rules and regulations. His only goal in the beginning was to get them attached and attracted to Krishna. So he emphasized chanting, kirtan, and prasadam. And yes, he would give classes. But the objective in the beginning was just get them attracted and attached to Krishna. And I also use that same formula in my own preaching. Rules and regulations will automatically come later. First, a person has to become convinced, attached, and attracted to Krishna. Then, automatically, they will be willing to follow restrictions, rules, and regulations. Following in the footsteps of Lord Sri Krishna, one can live with his or her family members or within the society or nation, not for the purpose of indulging in sense gratification, but to realize Krishna. By advancing in attachment for him, there are four principles of elevation from conditioned life to the life of liberation, which are technically known as dharma, artha, kam, moksha, translated as religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. If one leaves a family life, following in the footsteps of Lord Krishna's family members, one can achieve all four of these principles of success simultaneously, just by making Krishna the center of all activities. So that ends this first reading, where we have the purport to the Vipralamba of the wives of Lord Krishna. Now we will go to the next section. This next section is entitled Krishna's Dynasty. So this is part 5 of chapter 90 of Krishna Book, summary description of Lord Krishna's pastimes. It is already known to us that Krishna had 16,108 wives. All these wives were exalted liberated souls, and among them Queen Rukmini was the chief. After Rukmini, there were 7 other principal wives, and the names of the sons of these 8 principal queens have already been mentioned. Besides the sons born of these 8 queens, Lord Krishna had 10 sons by each of the other queens. Thus, altogether, Krishna's sons numbered 16,108 times 10. One should not be astonished to hear that Krishna had so many sons. One should always remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that he has unlimited potencies. He claims all living entities as his sons. So the fact that he had 161,080 sons attached to him personally should not be the cause for astonishment. Among Krishna's greatly powerful sons, 18 sons were Maharathas. Maharathas could fight alone against many thousands of foot soldiers, charioteers, cavalry, and elephants. The reputations of these 18 sons are very widespread and are described in almost all the Vedic scriptures. The 18 Maharatha sons as listed as follows: Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Deeptiman, Bhanu, Samba, Madhu, Brihadbhanu, Chitrabhanu, Vrika, Aruna, Pushkar, Vedabahu, Shrutadev, Sunandana, Chitrabahu, Virupa, Kavi, and Niyagrodha. Of these 18 Maharatha sons of Krishna, Pradyumna is considered the foremost. Pradyumna happened to be the eldest son of Queen Rukmini, and he inherited all the qualities of his great father, Lord Krishna. He married the daughter of his maternal uncle, Rukmi, and from that marriage Aniruddha was born. Aniruddha was so powerful that he could fight against 10,000 elephants. He married the granddaughter of Rukmi, the brother of his grandmother Rukmini. Because the relationship between these cousins was distant, such a marriage was not uncommon. Aniruddha's son was Vajra. When the whole Yadu dynasty was destroyed by the curse of some Brahmins, only Vajra survived. Vajra had one son whose name was Pratibahu. The son of Pratibahu was named Subahu, and the son of Subahu was named Shantasena, and the son of Shantasena was Shatasena. It is stated by Shukadeva Goswami that all the members of the Yadu dynasty had many children. Just as Krishna had many sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons, each one of the kings named herewith also had similar family extensions. Not only did all of them have many children, all of them were extraordinarily rich and opulent. None of them were weak or short-lived, and above all the members of the Yadu dynasty were staunch devotees of Brahminical culture. It is the duty of the Kshatriya kings to maintain Brahminical culture and protect qualified Brahmanas. All of these kings discharged their duties rightly. The members of the Yadu dynasty were so numerous that it would be very difficult to describe them all, even if one had a duration of life of many thousands of years. Shukadeva Goswami informed Maharaja Parikshit that he had heard from very reliable sources that simply to teach the children of the Yadu dynasty, there were as many as 38,800,000 tutors or acharyas. If so many teachers were needed to educate their children, one can simply imagine how vast was the number of family members. As for their military strength, it is said that King Ugrasena alone had 10 quadrillion soldiers as personal bodyguards. Before the advent of Lord Krishna within this universe, there were many battles between demons and demigods. Many demons died in the fighting, and they were all given the chance to take birth in high royal families on this earth. Because of their royal exalted posts, all these demons became very much puffed up, and their only business was to harass their subjects. Lord Krishna appeared on this planet just at the end of Dwarapara Yuga, just to annihilate all these demoniac kings. As it is said in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhunang vinashaya cha duskritam. The Lord comes to protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants. Some of the demigods were asked to appear on this earth just to assist in the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. When Krishna appeared, he came in the association of his eternal servitors. But some of the demigods also were requested to come down to assist him, and thus they took their births in the Yadu dynasty. The Yadu dynasty had 101 clans in different parts of the country. All the members of these different clans respected Lord Krishna in a manner befitting his divine position, and all of them were his devotees, heart and soul. Thus all the members of the Yadu dynasty were very opulent, happy, and prosperous. they had no anxieties. Because of their implicit faith and devotion to Lord Krishna, they were never defeated by any other kings. Their love for Krishna was so intense that in their regular activities, in sleeping, sitting, traveling, talking, sporting, cleansing, bathing, they were simply absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and paid no attention to bodily necessities. That is the symptom of a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Just as when a man is fully absorbed in some particular thought, he sometimes forgets his other bodily activities. The members of the Yadu dynasty acted automatically for their bodily necessities, but their actual attention was always fixed on Krishna. Their bodily activities were performed mechanically, but their minds were always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that ends part one and part two of this webcast. Now I will do a short concert of some of my original songs, and then we will have the final portion, which is the reading from the Govinda Lilamrita.